Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, that you have provided a way for Mary Frances to be with us. Lord, we know that this day has been set apart by you. And so, Father, we just ask for your words to come from Mary Frances, that her thoughts are lined up with you, that your Holy Spirit is just pouring over her and filling her up. Lord, this message comes from you. Help our hearts to be open to receive what you have for us. Lord, I also ask your protection over Mary Frances, her ministry, her family. Hide her under the shelter of your wing. You are her refuge and her strength. We trust in you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you so much. I am thrilled to be here with you. I had such a good time getting to know many of the congregation yesterday, and God is at work in Minnesota. And I am thrilled to be here for just to watch him as he is already working, and hopefully as he continues to do a great work, because he doesn't begin something without completing it. And this morning, I just want to dig right into scripture and just share with you what I feel like the Lord is speaking to the church here. So Mark 2, if you have your word with you, please turn there. Mark 2 is a great picture of Jesus and how what an influence he is having in the region of Capernaum. If you go back and you read Mark 1, you find out that he was all about that area, and specifically he was really working at great things in Capernaum, and they loved it so much they didn't want him to leave. But he said, I've got to go back, I've got to get around and go back into the other parts of Galilee and heal and teach and care. And so he was doing that. But this tells you that he came back to Capernaum. It was a place where God's Spirit was easily at work. And that's my prayer for this church and this region. So let's read together. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come to a home. So many gathered there, and there was no room, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. So people were hungry. That was awesome. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get to him, to Jesus, because of the crowd, they made an opening on the roof right where Jesus was, and after digging through it, lowered the paralyzed man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Son, your sins are forgiven. Now, some of the people, of course, were very upset. They started complaining. What does this fella talk like this for? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus knew what they were saying. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that that's what they were thinking and in their hearts. And he said, why do you think these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And he got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. You know, when I think about the issue of trafficking, when I think about children who are really in a place of vulnerability and at risk, it reminds me of someone that is kind of lost, paralyzed. And I remember when I've read this as a child, you know, Bible stories, you tell the story with the flannel board, you know, and it sounds all great. But there's so many amazing truths in those few verses that I want us to unpack today. When I was teaching Bible school many, many years ago with fourth grade children, my idea for teaching this story was to make it come alive. I'm a teacher at heart. I was a kindergarten teacher, so you can only imagine I like to do things tangible, act it out. So I got this blanket, not this one, but something like this, and I thought, wouldn't it be great? I'll get four of these fourth grade boys. Each of them can take a corner, and I'll get the smallest little girl. Don't make it too hard, right? And I'm going to let them act this out, right? It's not as easy as you think. Okay, so you get the four boys, and you get them organized, and they each take a corner of the blanket, and then you put the little girl on there, and then you're trying to get her just to walk. I mean, we didn't go up to a roof. We didn't walk up any step, but just to get them to walk a few steps and then lay it down as if they're laying it in front of Jesus, it was quite an interesting ordeal. I really was fearful for the little girl's life. And so I just say that to let you see this visual, and I want you to think about it. Four men realized that they had a friend who was paralyzed. So I say to you, the church, we're to be a friend to those who are paralyzed. And they look different. It might not be physically paralyzed. But there are situations that are all around you. There is someone that is in your life that is having a hard time. And we are to be the people, the friend that wants to help them find Jesus as their hope. Now, sometimes people know Jesus, but they're so paralyzed by everything going around them, they can't get to him. And I want you to think about these men. There were four of them. So it tells me that when there's a situation that is so difficult where you're paralyzed, one is probably not enough. Yes, you need a starter, you need an initiator. There's always going to need to be that person that is got their eyes open and watching and realizing there's a problem. That's what Valerie's doing. She's realizing there's a problem. But that's not enough. You need another person that's going to go with that person that's recognized there's a problem, and they are going to support this person. So you've got the friend, and they recognize my friend is paralyzed. I've heard about Jesus. He is healing everybody. And see, the beautiful picture is when you get involved with the people that are most broken, Jesus is right there in the midst of it. And the world is watching because the world is hungry for Jesus. They may not say it, but they are so hungry to see something good. Aren't you hungry for something good right now? I want to tell you, God is good, and he performs miracles every day. He is a transforming God. I have seen it over the last over 15 years, where I've seen young women and girls walk in the doors of our restoration homes, and they are so broken. They have absolutely no hope. They can't even look you in the eye, and within days, their face changes, their eyes light up. And it's not because we've done anything special, except that Jesus' love is transforming them. And it's more with our actions than our words. So this person has got the problem that there's a need. You have to have people to support. And I have to tell you, before you do anything, you got to spend some time on your knees. This church is going to have to pray. This is not a pretty subject, and I tell you, it's a hard place to walk. Because when you're going to work with someone that's broken, let me tell you, it's messy, very, very messy. And it's sometimes because you're right beside the broken, their stuff kind of flies in your face. You got to be ready for that. So you have to put on that armor of God. You've got to be praying for the broken. So if someone says, oh, my friend very much paralyzed in this situation, the first thing you need to do is get with that person and pray. Because God is the transformer. We are not, okay? God is the transformer. They knew they had to put this friend at the feet of Jesus, not them try to heal them, you know? So the second person is going to be the person that's going to be helping in the area of intercession. And then, you know, somebody's got to be the person that knows what to go and get. So you've got a mat, okay, and he's laying on the mat. That's great. We've got to have the resources to pick him up, so we've got to get another friend to help, and we've got to figure out a way to do it. So this last person I'm going to tell you about is the person that's kind of like the engineer, the analytic, like, okay, so you've got to get here, you've got to hold that, maybe we need a pole here and a pole there, and oh my goodness, we've got to go, we got there at this door, and we can't, oh, okay, now we've got to change a plan B, okay, because when you're walking with a broken, it's not a perfect road. You may think you know what they need, but let me tell you, you really don't. You have to stay in touch with the Lord, because he's going to tell you the next step and the next step and the next step. So here he is at the front door wanting to get their friend to Jesus, because Jesus has been healing everybody. Like, I know Jesus can heal. You got to believe that too. Everybody's got to get into that place of believing everything that we say that we believe. You know, we say, God can perform miracles. God, you can use me. You can use anyone. You can use me. You've got to believe that. Jesus is in us, and he wants to use us. He desires to use us. But just like at the time when you said yes to Jesus, I believe you, that you died and you rose from the dead and you've made a way to the Father, more than just believing that, you must believe that you can give your whole self and God can do something miraculous. So here at the front door, they realize, can't get in. What do we do now? Well, problem solver here, Mr. Engineer, says, I know what we'll do. We'll go up the steps to the roof. We'll tear off the top of the roof, and we'll lay him down at the feet of Jesus. Now, that's pretty, you know, interesting thought. So you're going up to this person's house that you don't own that house. It's somebody else's house. You're going to tear up their roof, and you're going to hope that you lay them right in front of Jesus when there are all these people around. Okay, that's a very interesting visionary, right? Doesn't make any sense. So the person that's telling them how to solve the problem, I'm wondering what the other three are thinking. Like, you're crazy? That doesn't make sense. It can't work. They may have thought that, but you know what? They believed enough in the mission of getting their friend healed, and enough in the fact that God put all of them together, and even if I don't believe every idea this person has, let's get together and let's make it happen. So up those steps they go. And I just can't imagine, okay, carrying this person, as I think about those little boys trying to carry that little girl across the way, and, you know, up like that and to the top. And, oh, by the way, sit here on the top while I dig through and hope he doesn't fall off. I mean, it's not a slanted roof, but still, it was dangerous, right? Dangerous for this person to trust these four people to get well. But they did it. He stayed on the mat. That's important. And these four were working like crazy. And what they did was they lowered their friend in front of the feet of Jesus. And I have to tell you, we people in the body of Christ many times think, I'm going to go and save the world. We don't say that out loud, but we do in our hearts. We think, I'm going to go do this, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. You know, we are nothing. We are nothing except vessels. And there's nothing that we can do to save anyone. Yes, there are girls and there are women and there are children that need someone that cares enough to be that type of a rescuer, that you're not going to sit in front of your television and eat, you know, have popcorn. You're going to get out, and wherever they are, you're going to be like Restore is going to be in the community where people are. You're going to be touching people that are not like you, because you have this passion that you want to make a difference. But the reality is, the only difference we can make is taking them to Jesus. Because we cannot save them. I never want a girl or a woman to walk in our doors and think that, oh, I'm in Wellspring, I'm fine. I'll be saved now. No. None of us are the heroes. He is. And as we walk through this time of trying to discover what is this church, Trinity, going to do with the information we've received about what's happening all around us, and the reality that there are many people that are needing hands of help. Many people are paralyzed. What do we do? It's so important that we know, first of all, that it's not us. we're not the Savior, God is. And with that passion of belief in God, that He is able to do far more than anything we could ever think or ask, we get in line and we get in our huddles of four or five or six. We get in our prayer teams and we pray and we work together. Because quite frankly, if one person isn't holding up their end, they're going to fall. That's the reality of the gravity of this. It needs all of us. We all have to be involved. And I think that's one of the sweetest things that God has done. He says He made us dependent on each other. I can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. All of us together, as we sit in this place of worship and we seek His face, and then we walk out of here and begin to act, as we do it together, something beautiful happens. You know, as I think about this blanket, it was a source of carrying the paralytic to Jesus. But when I think about how it really happens, it's not about us and the carrying as much as it is that we're hiding under the Spirit of God. You see that hiddenness of us. Holy Spirit blanketing us as we walk into the community, as we are the body of Christ, as we decide that we are going to be the little Christ. The word Christian really means the little Christ. And you know what that is? It is not what we think it is sometimes. Because Jesus told us what it was in Philippians. Paul described it. He says, your attitude should be the same as the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to grasp, but He made Himself nothing. And I've been listening to some really cool audibles lately, and one is a book by Ann Voskamp, and she talks about the emptying. Where everybody is, the thing to talk about a lot in the world is your bucket list. What am I going to do for my bucket list before I leave? And she's saying, we're going to empty ourselves. That's what little Christ does. We empty ourselves. God has put something inside of you that's different from your neighbor. He's put things uniquely inside of you that can be used to help those who are paralyzed find freedom, to walk again, to have the abundant life. And the reality is that as you do that, what happens is the person that you're helping, you're pouring yourself out for that person. But guess what? As you do that, God is filling you back up again. Because the abundant life is not getting everything you want. The abundant life is giving yourself away. And that's when you are experiencing God. See, we don't need to experience everything the world has to offer. Travel here, travel there, go do this, get this, climb the ladder of success. No. The world needs to experience what we've experienced. And that is the love of a very good God. And if our love for the Father is so strong within us, we can't hold it. We have to pour ourselves out. We have to be one of the four friends. We have to be out where the people are. And so as you are praying and seeking God on, what does this look like? How do I get involved? Because it's not going to be clean. It's going to be messy. But it's so worth it. I have to tell you, the greatest thing about where God has taken me in the last almost 17 years is that I have seen Him do things outside of the walls of the church that I never saw happen inside the walls of the church. I've seen girls who never, I thought, many of them would ever be able to have a life again, and God's totally transformed it. And He's transformed me at the same time. But at the end of the day, it's not about the people we get to serve. It isn't even about the friends I get to serve with, which I love. But it's about the amazing Father that allows us to be a part of His divine plan. And He is always our greatest reward. I desire for you, every one of you, to experience that. there is nothing like it, nothing like it in the world than to know that you know this God is working through you and you can continually empty yourself out. It's not like I'm ever full, because the minute I'm filled with what the joy of seeing someone else come to know him, it's time to empty it again. And this continual process is that changing from glory to glory, which puts our eyes on eternity and our hearts on the Lord. And your community will never be the same when all of us little Christ do that together. And so that's my prayer for you, that you will take whatever is in your hand, whatever God has put in you, and say, it's yours, Lord. Use me. Truly have that song in your heart. What if you can use a rock and you can use a rod, you can use a donkey, you can use me. And I'm saying that to you because that's what God says to us. I want to use you. I will use you. Open yourself up to that. Let me pray for you. God, you are such a great and amazing Father who's shown his love to us through Jesus. And Jesus, I thank you that you left your glory. You could have stayed in heaven, but you chose to come down and be among this mess. And I pray that today that you're speaking to hearts and that they are doing the same thing. They're choosing to not stay inside the comfortable place, but maybe walk in the uncomfortable to see you do mighty transformational works. And Lord, as you do that, I know, God, you're going to restore and renew many people, and you're going to transform this community to be a community that reflects your love, and so many people will come to know you. And that's our prayer, Lord, because you want no one to perish, but all to come to know the beautiful, redeeming love of a good Father. And so now, God, speak to hearts, remind them of people that they know, and then, Lord, give us the strength to walk in the way that is worthy of the calling you put on our lives. In the name of Jesus, I pray.